tuning in. Wake up, get crossed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like how do we get out this low estate? We let the script prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept. Line upon line, the script say with the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power, it's the what? Power, power, it's the who? Power, power, yeah, yeah, blacks, Hispanics, and natives. Power, power, it's the what? Power, power, it's the who? Power, power, yeah, 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 blacks, Hispanics, and natives. Power, power, it's the what? Power, power, it's the who? Power, power, yeah, yeah.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Good evening, shalom, Captain Aparian.
Shalom, Officer Nehemiah.
Shalom, Soji Ezekiel.
Yeah, all praises to the Most High. So we've been having a rotation here going on with our host. We 50-50 today, like Captain Aparim said. We got half Southern Kingdom, half Northern Kingdom on the show today.
Right.
All praise to the Most High. Yes, that's right. Bring it all the way out. we have a few things to go over today. We're going to go back and see some snippet from a few weeks back of the documentary we were watching, The Harvest of Empire. All right. I'm going to try to break it up into chunks. Got some articles, got some information. We'll see what we get through. Might not be able to get through all of it. It'll be a continuation on if that's the case. The documentary also has a book. The book came first. All right. This is Harvest of Empire, A History of Latinos in America by Juan Gonzalez. It probably has even another revision. You know how they do, because I've had this for a little while. So it's fully revised with a new introduction. But the book goes into a little more detail than the documentary. They both kind of complement each other well. Different things that you can bring out. The United States, America's history on their control, their involvement, their dominance of wanting to police the Western Hemisphere. All right. We had spoke about the Monroe Doctrine in one of our episodes, and we kind of broke that thing down. And that was kind of their guiding thing that guided them in all these different things that we're going to be bringing out on the show. So I need that lion and rhino on a T-shirt. It's coming, brother. It's coming, actually. Lord's will, we're going to get I don't want to say all, but I have several of the radio shows. We're going to do like a series of radio show T-shirts. So we'll have that up for purchase on originalroyalty.com for all your Israelite apparel. Hey, and we're doing big things on Original Royalty. I want to say probably right around the fall, we're going to drop the beard line. Okay, we're going to drop the beard line. I got the name of it. Got the logos. All right.
What I got to do is just put it on.
Yeah. And then you just take it and you put it on. It's like the
suction cup.
It's like a suction cup beard. we were working hard with that beard line. Got some high quality oils in there. It's not going to be like anything that you've seen out there yet. And that's going to be coming in the fall. We're looking at doing, going back to doing just kind of fringed apparel. So not just the T-shirts and the screen. So if you want to buy, you know, your polo shirts, button downs, right? Not just T-shirts, things like that. Probably do some simple stuff with that fringed up, right? Ready to go. I'm sure Single Brothers will love that one,
right?
And we're trying to do some skirts and stuff for the sisters. We're going to see, you know, how we're going to roll with that. See, the thing is, I don't know if I want to fringe them with the sisters because sometimes they'll be like, well, I want this fringe. I want that. Right. So I don't know. Brothers don't care. We just want
a
fringe, which is fine. You know, I'm not saying don't be fashionable. Sisters be having some, they want to express themselves and stuff like that. That's fine. If it's in modesty, you know. So, all praises, yes. So the T-shirt will be coming, Lord's will. Hey, also, if you haven't, and producer, you can put it up. Puerto Rico has a radio show page, all right? You know we've been hitting Puerto Rico. We exclusived it first on this show that we were going to be building up Puerto Rico hard. We've been committed to going at least once a month, every month. We're going to continue to do that. And they have a weekly radio show that they broadcast in the city of Manati. And we're also simulcasting it to their radio show page called Dale Luz. All right. So make sure that you look for that producer, the Facebook Dale Luz page. Not just the picture, like they also post the actual link too. And from what I understand, they kind of took some motivation from our logo for the Power Hour, and they did theirs. So you might see some similarities.
A lot of similarities. You're being nice.
Hey, listen, that's righteous
emulation. Yeah,
That's not negative emulation. That's righteous emulation. So. So make sure you support that. We have the IUIC Puerto Rico Facebook page and also their YouTube. We're going to try to push more content on that as well. So one of the things we wanted to start doing as we jumped on certain things. Why did only the picture come up? Hold on. Got to click on the link. Here it is. We had an idea that we're going to go ahead and post up and speak about Northern Kingdom Inventors. All right, so we're going to try to highlight some every show until we run out, I guess. So let's pull up the 11 inventions. Probably didn't know came from Latin America. We're only going to read one, right? And our plan is to try to start it off and bring that out. Okay, so Latin America has produced some of the most ingenious inventions of our lifetime. And yet, according to a 2013 report by the OECD, the future of innovation in the Latin America region is in danger due to low levels of investment and research. And we speak about this documentary often. We've yet to kind of really do a show or anything dissecting it. The End of Poverty, it kind of tells you why it's set up that way. They don't invest in the region anymore because they've kind of taken what they wanted out of it at this point. So research and development in Latin America is sluggish, contrary to other regions such as the United States, where knowledge-intensive sectors represent 60% of manufacturing value and experience rapid growth. That goes into the technology economy versus the industrial economy, and that's large. We spoke about that with Puerto Rico. That's largely a result of the impact the United States meddling in those countries and in those regions has kind of kept them basically behind. You know, you'll hear third world countries, which would mean they're second world countries, and that's kind of probably where the Caribbean and Central South America falls in. It's they're kind of second world countries where they're not like the major players like on the G7 and all that stuff like that. But anyway, so, you know, we're talking about the invention piece. So it says today, however, things are starting to look up. Innovative startups are gaining momentum. Initiatives are addressing the innovation gaps, such as the World Economic Forum's Competitiveness Lab. And creative entrepreneurs are leading the way on technologies that have social impact. With the promise of a bright future for innovation in Latin America, let's take a look at some of the region's greatest past inventions. So we're going to speak about the color TV.
Uh-oh.
Yes. That was a Northern Kingdom inventor that created color television. Born in Guadalajara, Mexico, Guillermo González Camarena was an electrical engineer. Right? Supposedly, we're a criminal enterprise, right? None of us are good. We're no good for nothing.
Right?
Was an electrical engineer credited with the invention of a color wheel type of television. His was the first color TV patented in the U.S. and Mexico, and is still used by NASA today.
NASA.
All right. So that's Guillermo González Camarena. All right. So like I said, we'll try to highlight one every week as we go over that. All right. Hey, let's get John 8:32 for the do nothings that want to say something. I said I'm going to make sure. All right, since it's a talk radio show. Oh, you threw up a picture of him. John 8:32, because you know we had somebody who was like, oh, it took so long to bring out a scripture.
Oh my goodness!
With all the information that was being shown, it took so long to bring out a scripture. You know what's funny? When you were in the Christian church, you would never say nothing to pastor when he wasn't bringing out scripture.
They took a long time to break down the scripture, and they never broke it down.
And they never broke it down. Never broke it down.
Hey, Soldier Ezekiel, put the mic closer to your mouth.
Yeah, you can adjust it with the knobs and stuff, I think. Damn, why did someone have it so low? Was that Zacchaeus?
Or you can just scoot it towards you.
Or just scoot it towards you.
There it is.
And you can keep it low. There you go.
Let's give a round of applause.
Round of applause for that. Let's read John 8:32 to satisfy everybody on the show.
The book of John, chapter 8. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Right? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? And a lot of times when establishing that truth, okay, we got to go and go into these historical contexts. Sometimes we're going to spend stretches of the show where we're reading articles and going over historical things, so on and so forth. Some shows will be very scripture heavy. Some will not. I have a lot of ideas in the process of time that we're going to go out. That I got to get back to the one. There's a book I have bought that I want to read on. So I had invested in a bunch of books for, like, you know, different type of Latin history and things like that. Talking about more recent, not like conquistador era stuff. And I also, there's one that talks about, like, you know, the masculinity, which it falls under the whole Sodom agenda and everything being attacked, the feminist movement being stronger than ever now, and in disguise, right? Meaning it they don't really call it the feminist movement anymore. It has other names and other iterations, many aliases. I'm known by many names, right? That sort of thing. So we're going to talk about men and manhood and manning up and stuff like that. So we'll see how far we get with this history, and then I might want to jump into that next, but we'll see. We got a lot of stuff. But I say all that to say that sometimes, right, you're going to have those stretches where it's not. And Bishop Yalosab has said it the best when we went Sacramento, and it kind of just validated how we were already rolling. And he says, you can't just rush through a bunch of precepts and scriptures all the time.
Right.
That creates its own level of confusion to some people. So in giving the sense, right, we're able to go ahead and as an adjunct, bring in these other types of materials and videos and things like that to be able to help edify the people, right? And, you know, people are visual, their attention spans, all that stuff. So as we chop things up and change things up, it's more edifying for everybody. So where was the other article on the I think I posted that from the BBC, right? So we're going to talk about a little present. We're going to talk about some past, right? And obviously the future is always Israel, but I wanted to read this article. So I saw this posted today, it's heartbreaking conditions in U.S. migrant child camp. So someone posted this on the Telegram today. So this is a one-day-old article. So like I said, we're going to talk about stuff in the present. And again, just showing you, the curses manifest today for our people. The hypocrisy of who you believe in office, right? Because this is under a new administration. This is with Sleepy Joe, Jim Crow Joe, all right, in office. I think they're making news now because Kamala Harris is finally going down to visit the border. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be a big deal. Anyway, so it says at a U.S. border detention center in the Texan desert, migrant children have been living in alarming conditions where disease is rampant. Food can be dangerous, and there are reports of sexual abuse. An investigation by the BBC has found through interviews with staff and children. We're also going to watch a video. I'll tell you when. It's the video that's linked in the article. I'll tell you when to cue that up. And for me, this is still relevant to what we're dealing with the School of the Americas and everything, because, see, the simple answer when you read this for all the Edomites that hate us and those of our own people that have bought into that BS is, well, then why come? This wouldn't happen to you if you didn't try to come here. But then the whole point of the Harvest of Empire and what we're going over with that is you have to understand how they destabilized the region so much where we live. They've made it almost unlivable for us as they've raped the land, as they tried to reap their riches off of that, enlarge their desire as hell. And they've created a hellish environment for our people. And yes, you can say this, that, and the other as a people. It's you know, we'll watch some of this stuff and it's our own people killing our own people. But what's really at the core of that is the environment they created with their destabilizing the economy, them supporting the people who they wanted their initiatives pushed for. It goes back to that Monroe Doctrine. They see themselves as the police of this side. Started as this side of the world, but their whole foreign policy to this day is based on they're the police of the world. And I remember before the truth, I used to say, damn, why is America always in other people's business? What's going on with that? Yeah, they see themselves as the police force of the world. So it says, in recent months, the U.S. has seen a massive rise in migrants and asylum seekers from Central America. Violence, natural disasters, and pandemic-related economic strife are some of the reasons behind the influx, experts say. Now, this article is not going to go into why, right? They're talking about these more recent things, right? They're not going to necessarily go in and say, well, it's because of what America did, right, that it's like that. But this also tied into so there's a few things we're covering here. The curses being alive today and who they're upon. Right. Because this isn't happening to, you know, illegal Russians coming here or illegal. Right. And don't say that there aren't any, because there's plenty of others that try to come in illegally. Right. Everybody talks about migration and they're only talking about the southern border. Isn't talking about Canadian illegal migrants, you know, being here and stuff like that. So who the curses fall upon, right, is our people, clearly. So it goes into that. It has shades of the Indian schools, which we recently spoke about, because they're saying that young girls are being raped and boys in these detention centers by the staff. This article is a day old. That means right now, that could potentially be happening right now in one of these camps, right? And it goes into the larger reason as to why all these migrants are here in the first place. So it says some have also suggested the perception of a more lenient administration under Democrat Joe Biden has contributed to the crisis, though the White House has urged migrants against journeying to the U.S. border. And that may have some truth. They were like, oh, because, again, the media puts out what they want to put. So they were like, oh, yeah, supposedly this guy is going to be nicer. Let's start heading back to, you know, America again. Let's start heading to the United States. So it says the tented camp in the Fort Bliss military base in El Paso, Texas, is the temporary home for over 2,000 teenage children who have crossed the U.S.-Mexico border alone and are now awaiting reunification with family in the U.S. Findings from the BBC's investigation include allegations of sexual abuse, COVID and lice outbreaks, a child waiting hours for medical attention, a lack of clean clothes, and hungry children being served undercooked meat. The BBC has, it sounds like when we went slavery, how they would just give us whatever conditions, right? So the BBC has spoken to camp employees about these conditions and seen photos and videos smuggled out by staff. We're not going to look at the video yet, but that's going to be the video we're going to play. What are the camp conditions? The Fort Bliss camp consists of at least 12 tents, some of which house hundreds of children at a time. The children spend most of their day in the tents, getting out for an hour or two of recreation or to line up with hundreds of others for a meal. Staff told the BBC the food was mostly edible, but a 15-year-old who has now been released said he was fed uncooked meat. Sometimes the chicken had blood, the meat very red. We couldn't stand our hunger and we ate it, but we got sick from it. You know, scripture tells us not to eat the blood in the meat, right? And so, it being under these afflictions, right, eating our defiled bread among the Gentiles, a number of tents have also been set up just to accommodate the large numbers of sick children. The children have nicknamed it COVID City. Hundreds of children have tested positive for COVID, said one employee who asked to remain anonymous because staff are banned from speaking about the camp. In addition to COVID, outbreaks of the flu and strep throat have also been reported since the camp opened in late March. And some children in need of urgent medical attention have been neglected. In a secret recording of a staff meeting in May given to the BBC, an employee told of a child who was coughing up blood and needed urgent medical care. They said, "We are going to send him to lunch." The employee reported another staff member as saying it was a 3.5-hour wait to see anybody. The 15-year-old who spoke to the BBC was released last month after 38 days in detention. He said he caught COVID-19 soon after arriving in the camp and became severely ill. After he recovered, he was sent back to live in a crowded tent and became ill again. When we went to ask for medicine, they gave us dirty looks, and they always laughed among themselves, said the boy, who preferred to remain anonymous, of some camp workers. Lice has been rampant, an employee told the BBC, and one of the major shortages has been lice kits. Staff said a tent of around 800 girls was locked down last month because of lice. Photos and videos smuggled out of the facility by staff and given to the BBC show rows of flimsy bunks set inches from each other, extending in long lines through the vast tents. And I get it. You're going to have some people on the other side. What is it supposed to be? The Ritz? Is it supposed to be the Waldorf Astoria or whatever? No, but it shouldn't be this either, right? Right. I think the crowding is the number one reason that the illnesses have spread, said an employee. That's exactly it. Because I remember when I was in basic training, man, they shoot you up with all types of stuff because they tell you that, right? Because you're going to have so many men in one barracks, and you're going to wind up getting sick, and they know that. So in your first week of processing, you're literally walking through a line, and they're stabbing you on your shoulders, your butt cheeks, with all types of different stuff that they're medicating you with.
My dad used to say, I can't get sick. I've been given everything.
They give you everything under the sun when you go in there, because it is. So the overcrowding is conducive for disease. Wild sandstorms sweep through the Chihuahuan Desert where the camp is set. The whole tent starts shaking. Some of the tents open up and sand rushes in. You literally have to shield your whole body from sand, said a female employee who also spoke on the condition of anonymity. By the end of the day, we are all just covered in dust from head to toe, she added. Staff told the BBC that showers are on offer, but many children don't want to take them because they have no clean clothes to change into. There is a shortage of underwear, other clothing items, and shoes in the camp, according to employees. These are the conditions that they're in now. Regardless of what you think, because I know you got some people, right, Esau's reading this are like, good, they wouldn't be there if that didn't happen to them. You know they are, right? It is heartbreaking to hear their stories and to see them very plainly suffering and to hear the same kind of complaints over and over again about things that could be corrected so easily, said a staff member. Let me tell you something. In the Bible and God and all his wisdom, even our enemies weren't treated like that when they were prisoners.
Right.
Yeah, they were our servants, but we had to take care of them. We had to give them certain provisions and things like that. This man is so heartless, right? That goes into
that's the law of the strangers.
Right, the law of the strangers. Get in Deuteronomy 28 where it says they'll have no regard of the old and the young.
Yep.
They don't care. We had the law where when we had the possession of the heathen, we had to treat them with a certain level of dignity, right, and respect. Give them some basic essentials, okay? Esau can't even bring themselves to do that in supposedly all their infinite wisdom are here, right? Come on.
It's the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young.
You see, it calls Esau, right? Because that's the nation who it's talking about.
Right.
It says it's a nation of fierce countenance. A fierce countenance. And then it attempts to elaborate, and there's levels to that fierceness. And it says one of the things that makes it fierce, it says it will not regard the person of the old, meaning, right, you're supposed to have respect unto the aged people, the elders, so on and so forth. It says it won't have regard to that, nor show favor to the young, because the thing is you're supposed to have some empathy towards the young.
Right.
Hey, that's why you read the other one in Psalms where it says, happy will we be when we dash their kids against the rocks,
because
they did that to us.
Mm-hmm.
They had no regard for that stuff. Right?
Check out what Obadiah says. Give me Obadiah 12.
The book of Obadiah.
So this is the Most High reprimanding Esau.
Yes, sir. The book of Obadiah, verse 12. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger.
So it was flipped. We became the stranger. Remember, we just talked about we had the law of the stranger. We became the stranger in that day, and based on the law, they were supposed to treat us the way we were supposed to treat them. Okay? Go ahead.
Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah.
But they didn't. They rejoiced over everything that's happened to us. Go ahead.
In the day of their destruction.
In the day of their destruction. You see, when we had them in captivity and servitude, we didn't destroy them. Okay? They put us to the point where we were destroyed. Go ahead.
Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress.
And Cap brought that out, right? Right now they're reading this. If it's Edomite reasons, and they're proud about that. They're like, oh, they deserve that, right? Go ahead, read 13.
Verse 13. thou shouldest not have entered into the of my people.
Of my people. Go ahead.
In the day of their calamity.
And let's not lose the thought, right? His people, right? So Esau is the Caucasian man today. Israelites are the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans today. So what is, remember what he said up on the top in 12, right? Now in 13, it says, of my people, you should not have entered into the gate. You shouldn't even had anything to deal with us like that. Okay?
Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity.
So basically 12 and 13, man, the Most High is saying, man, y'all took it overboard.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all were not supposed to take it to that level because at the end of the day, they were your brother.
Right. They're
supposed to mind their business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
And but they had that fierce countenance. That's that nation of that fierce countenance. So they show no favor. They show no favor when it comes to any of that stuff. Let's go back to the article. So it says, after a child has been here for a few days, they say you've – oh, no, I'm sorry. Paragraph up. It is heartbreaking to hear their stories and to see them very plainly suffering and to hear the same kinds of complaints over and over again about things that could be corrected so easily. This is a staff member that said this. Meaning this isn't something where they don't have the resources.
Right.
It says this stuff can be corrected. It's on purpose.
Yeah.
It's on purpose. So it says, after a child has been here for a few days, they say, you've got to get me out of here as soon as possible. I just can't stand it anymore, he added. They feel like they are in prison. So what do the authorities say? The Department of Health and Human Services, which employs private contractors to help run the camp, say it is committed to transparency, but the BBC was denied access to the camp. Hey, we're transparent, but we don't want to show you what's going on in here. What are the reports of sexual abuse? There are reports of staff sexually abusing children at the Fort Bliss camp. This is one camp. They have several.
Right.
So magnify this. This isn't some isolated incident. This one camp. Mm-hmm. At a camp training session, secretly recorded by a staff member and shared with the BBC, an employee voiced concerns. We have already caught staff with minors inappropriately, she said. Another employee told the BBC that Department of Homeland Security had spoken to staff about a rape. DHS mentioned there was a rape. They are giving the girls pregnancy tests, she said. And I heard the other night that another contractor was caught in a boy's tent, you know, doing things with him. Again, this is the same stuff they did when they came in the embodiment of the conquistadors. Mm-hmm. And now you're having that stuff happening now, right, here today. So this article is a day old. It's a day old. What state are the children in? Many of the children in Fort Bliss become severely depressed, according to staff, who say there are multiple cases of children self-harming. I thought that I was not going to get out of there, that I was not going to see my family again, the 15-year-old who spoke to the BBC said, welling up with emotion. Sometimes, and at night, we would cry. During the worst time, I was nearly at the point of committing suicide.
Wow.
That's the madness.
Mm-hmm.
That's that madness. That's that... groping at noon at noonday as if in darkness, that's a hopelessness that's in there. Staff took risks to speak about and expose conditions children are being held in at Fort Bliss. The state of around 12,000 other children in the HHS emergency facilities scattered around the country remains largely unknown. So it says, why have so many children crossed the border alone? Over a million migrants have tried to cross into the U.S. this year, according to U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, almost twice as many as last year. Many adults are deported due to a public health rule put in place in the Trump era, but most children under President Joe Biden have been allowed to stay. These children are mostly coming from Guatemala, Honduras, or El Salvador. And when we watch the clip, you're going to see we're going to spotlight Guatemala today. All right. When we watch the documentary, we're going to watch like maybe a 10, 12-minute clip. Around 80% of the migrant children who end up in the U.S. alone have relatives in the country, but the system is failing to unite them quickly. Earlier this year, HHS set up a system of emergency camps. Fort Bliss is one to relieve overcrowding in facilities run by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. So these are contractor ones, and then you have the ones run by ICE, right? Like you, the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, right? Because they're all kind of affiliated. And so it's 12,000 of these private ones, right, but that they subcontract, and then who knows how many of the other ones that the Border Patrol is put in place. Currently, children spend an average of 31 days in the HHS camps, down from 40 days at the beginning of the Biden administration in January. It's jacked up what's going on down there. Let's play the video and let's watch that clip. And you know, so it's a major outlet that's picked this up in the BBC,
right.
But you don't see this front and center. They're talking about Britney Spears breaking news, her father's running her
right,
stuff.
Right. Ridiculous.
And everybody's out there. People showed up to the courthouse. She wasn't even in the courthouse. She was doing it like virtually. People showed up, free Britney, free
right.
Britney, because her father has conservatorship. So he's sitting on all her millions.
Bruh.
But...
but not free the kids,
right? Oh, none of that. And I'm not saying there aren't people demonstrating that,
right.
But that's where the priorities are.
Right. That and Juneteenth.
Yeah, and Juneteenth, right?
Right, you got an extra day off.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Where's the sound?
The children feel like they are in prison.
We heard one of the contractors raped a girl at night.
I've come across children who have been cutting themselves.
Hey, pause for a second. Anyone else funny? Esau looks at this and they're like, oh yeah, of course they're coming here because it's great here.
Right.
It's so great. Never once say, why would they put themselves through the journey that they got to take on foot?
Right.
On foot. Yo, Esau be in the damn supermarkets on them little freaking scooter things,
yeah,
right? They can't even walk through the damn supermarket.
Right.
These kids are trekking through countries on foot and not in Nikes, not in Sarconis or some fancy hiking shoes, in chancletas and freaking sandals,
right?
With one set of clothes hiking to get here. And nobody ever asks, what the hell's going on over there?
Why come here?
Right. Why come here? In their mind, oh, yeah, of course they're coming here because, you know, we're going to put them on welfare and we're going to take care of them and all that stuff. Ridiculous. Go ahead.
Jeez.
There are very significant numbers of kids with COVID. I think the crowding is the number one reason that illnesses have spread. Lice became a very big problem. At one point, when all the girls were consolidated into one tent, the lice were so widespread, they actually had to put the tent into lockdown.
And how many girls were in that tent?
Hundreds and hundreds of girls.
Many children have been here for over a month. Some, like this boy, have tried to run away. We met one of the children who was inside.
I watched the days go by and I felt very low. I thought that I was not going to get out of there, that I was not going to see my family again. And sometimes at night, we would cry. During the worst time, I was nearly at the point of committing suicide.
After 5 weeks in detention, he has been reunited with his mother in the U.S. In the camp, he became severely ill with COVID and struggled to fully recover.
It was difficult to see a doctor for medicine. And when we went to ask for medicine, they gave us dirty looks. And they always laughed among themselves.
Children wear wristbands. They've checked whenever they leave a tent. They're marched to meals.
The food was not well cooked. Sometimes the chicken had blood on it. The meat was very red.
Yeah, because they like it.
We were
like
so hungry we ate it.
It's perfect for you. The desert climate is harsh.
The desert storms are crazy. The whole tent starts shaking. Some of the tents open up and sand rushes in. You literally have to shield your whole body from sand. By the end of the day, we are all just covered in dust from head to toe.
We've been told where to collect a memory stick containing secret audio recordings of a camp staff meeting.
Already talked about weight minors inappropriate
An employee came out of the camp to meet us.
We heard one of the contractors raped a girl at night. DHS mentioned there was a rape and they are giving the girls pregnancy tests. I also heard they just announced the results in front of everyone here. And I heard the other night that another contractor was caught in a boy's tent, you know, doing things with him.
We've been told by the trainers stories at this facility that staff have developed inappropriate relationships with children, men who have developed relationships with some of the girls, and even some of the women staff who developed relationships with boys.
The authorities haven't responded to the allegations in this report.
Of course not.
But this is what the Department of Health and Human Services says.
Go ahead. You don't got to stop it.
Staff at Fort Bliss took risks to expose how children are treated. But there are around 12,000 children in other camps in the U.S. whose condition remain largely unknown.
After a child has been here for more than a few days, they're saying, you know, you got to get me out of here. I just can't stand it anymore.
You know, and they're saying that staff took the risk to report it, but that's the same staff that's raping them.
Exactly.
You know, so where is there drawing the line, like stopping these people from doing that stuff? It goes to show you it's not what it appears. The reason those staff came out and said anything was so that we could have it in the news, so that we can try to bring it to light, so we can do some stuff with it.
That's right!
So, yeah, this is happening today. This is happening today. And we've read that in Deuteronomy 28 about the children being taken from the parents, right? No might in our hand. These are all the different curses. And it's funny because, you know, then you got knuckleheads out there that say, oh, Northern Kingdom don't fit the curses.
Right.
I didn't see no... East Indian migrants there. I didn't see no Arab migrants there. I didn't see no Irish migrants or whatever it is. You know, and again, the retort would be from some, oh, it's because they come here legally. No, there's a lot of illegal activity that's not
right.
All from the southern border.
They ain't trying to wait in that process either. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The process that Esau put in place. They ain't trying to wait on that. They're trying to get in here too to do their thing.
Yeah, they don't want to wait on that process. Because that's one thing. At least that although behind the scenes, they probably expedite those things a little bit. Remember what Trump was saying? He was like, why do we get people from shit countries? Why can't we get people? He said, why can't we get people that come here from Sweden?
Wow.
Because Sweden's actually a little more civilized and organized than it is here, actually.
Right.
They got free health care for everybody, all types of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you're talking about nobody from Sweden wants to come here. Plus, you didn't destabilize Sweden. You didn't destabilize the economy to have people coming here.
You didn't take everything.
Right, you didn't take everything from them. Jeez. All right, so we're going to jump back in. We're going to watch this segment on the Harvest of Empire, and then we're going to go into a little history of some of the operations and things like that caused the formation of the School of the Americas, all right, which is now called, I think, WINSEC, Western Hemisphere or something. We'll look it up in a little bit. But so start at 11:50, all right? I think I have put it on the thing. I want to start at 11:50. Okay, that's fine.
If you had to pick one date where U.S. foreign policy towards Latin America went wrong, the date would be 1954 and the place Guatemala. That was the beginning of this terrible, terrible attitude that the United States developed towards Latin America and particularly towards Central America, where change became our enemy.
Guatemala fue tremendo. 200,000 muertos que hemos contabilizado, más de 50,000 desaparecidos.
So stop, it says 200,000 dead, 50,000 missing. You know, I mean, and that's modern times. You're talking about in the late 1900s,
right.
Not...
Missing means you're dead.
Right.
Because you ain't never come back, right?
Right, you ain't never come back.
You,
right.
You would have came back at some point.
You would have came back.
You know the layout.
Right. Yep, that's exactly right. So 250,000 dead. Come on. Go ahead.
83% de los desaparecidos y los ejecutados fueron mayas. O sea, el dolor es demasiado fuerte, que nuestro pueblo nunca lo va a olvidar.
Guatemala was one of the few countries in Latin America that after World War II actually experienced a period of democratic rule. President Jacobo Arbenz was determined to reduce widespread poverty by effecting major land reform in Guatemala.
So stop for a second. You're going to find, as we go through this stuff, this was largely the case in a lot of the Central and so-called South American, even in the Caribbean, the Northern Kingdom locales. A lot of these leaders came into power, and they wanted to help their people. They wanted to go ahead and try to level the playing field. And a lot of it had to do with land rights and things like that. Because remember, and he's going to say it now, all this history goes interchangeably. So the effects of Columbus arriving and the conquistadors putting us in bondage, right? And it's not just the Spaniards, yet the Portuguese, the Dutch that came and were over here as well, is so widespread that the land to this day, many of it, is owned by private corporations and not the people of that land. And that's one of the lasting economic impacts that you can see how that you know, because people like to tell you that was then, that's not now, so on and so forth. But you'll see that now. He's going to give a statistic now about like, how, like, I don't know, like 70% of the land's owned by like 2% of the people, so on and so forth. And he's going to talk about that. So this president that they're talking about, he's going to tell you he came in, democracy, right, supposed to be a good thing, right? He's rolling with what America likes, democracy. And his goal was to fix things economically. So you would think, seemingly, he was for democracy so that the United States would back him. Because that's what they tell you now when they're messing with the likes of Chavez and, right, you know, everybody else that is supposedly anti-democratic. They say, no, we're coming to bring democracy there. We're going to support the democratic. You're going to see that was not the case in the history of Guatemala. Go ahead.
Only 2% of the owners controlled 75% of the arable land. And of all those, the United Fruit Company was the largest.
So stop.
600,000.
You're going to have to go back a couple seconds. So he says 2% of the land owners controlled 75% of the arable land, meaning the land that was going to be good for the natural resources, right? The fruits, the vegetables, the exports that they would use, sugar, coffee, all that stuff like that, right? The raw resources there. And he says, and out of that 2%, the United Fruit Company. So whereas you had the United Sugar, which became Domino Sugar when we spoke about Puerto Rico, in Central and South America, United Fruit was the conglomerate that owned most of the land and stuff. And if you remember, any of you who follow the show, if you remember the way Domino Sugar had operated in Puerto Rico, they built railroads and infrastructure and everything for themselves, right? So they had the capability to build things up. It didn't really benefit the people, right? You'll see the same MO here, right, in how United Fruit operated. So just go back a few seconds.
And of all those, the United Fruit Company was the largest, with some 600,000 acres of property.
It was such a powerhouse, owning its own railroads, its own shipping lines. It really was more powerful than any government throughout most of the 20th century. In fact, Latin America became the incubator for all the great American multinational companies.
So stop. So you said that he says Latin America became the incubator, right? So you think of the incubator, right? Like, so let's say I don't know if you ever did the experiment in school. You take the little chicken egg and you put it in the incubator so you cultivate it so that it can hatch and bloom into, you know, a chick, right? And then obviously that chick goes on into a chicken and becomes big and fat, right? He says that became the incubator for all these companies, right? These multinational companies. So again, the benefit of the captivity was owning the land. And then in modern times, so basically I got to give it to them. They reinvent themselves in how they make money.
Right.
It used to be when they first got here, let's take the slaves, let's take all the resources and the precious metals, and we're going to get rich that way. And when they took all of that, they said, hey, you know what? Let's get ourselves rich. Let's set ourselves up in these companies, in these countries here where we'll have favorable tax laws and codes
right. Before
they were established governments, and we're going to set ourselves up. And one key thing that he said there, that flew over a lot of people's head. You heard it, but you didn't let that thing incubate in your mind. He said that United Fruit, right, and companies of that ilk were more powerful than actual governments. And that has not changed to this day. The thing that's heavy about that is that you have to realize you think the governments will save you from these type of things. No, our elected officials are going to do this. Our elected officials are going to do that. These companies... right? That's that elite. That's those that people say, oh, you're talking about conspiracy theories. Hey, those elite, I'm not saying they're minor players, these world leaders,
mm-hmm.
right? But they're puppets for these guys,
exactly.
For these people. And that's what they, and that's basically what he said there as people glazed over that. I see you ruminating. You going to say something?
Yeah, yeah. Because don't be surprised that they are run by the government, the businesses. They
mm-hmm.
just do it like that, so they don't seem like they have a conflicting interest in it.
Right, and that's why you have a lot of these politicians, right? What's the thing they're always looking at, right? Like, a lot of them have money or some
right.
side contracts with a lot of these companies.
Yeah.
So, you know, they figure, well, listen, they might not necessarily be the ones in government, but those people in government have affiliations with them, which essentially amounts to the same thing.
Hey, it's a known fact that all politicians, they go in broke, they come out rich.
Yep, they sure do. They sure do. Their net worths. Nobody goes into politics and has a successful career in politics and comes out poorer than when
right.
they went in. Don't work that way. That's why they always talk about the lobbyists and all that stuff
that's
like
why
that.
Why don't work that way?
Yeah.
Because they had to answer to those lobbyists.
That's exactly right.
You
want to
get
that's
elected
exactly
next
right.
term?
Yep. Exactly right. Yep. Go ahead.
In fact, Latin America became the incubator for all the great American multinational companies. Two of the key principals in the U.S. government are John Foster Dulles, who was the Secretary of State under President Eisenhower. His brother, Alan Dulles, who was the head of the CIA, had both been law partners
conflict of interest.
In the main law firm that represented United Fruit Company.
Stop. So the two major players for this international stuff were law partners, right? That for the law firm that represents the United Fruit Company.
That's what I'm saying. Why I say it, because they have inadvertently they're part of it.
Right. Well, they basically are the government.
Right.
You think it's your elected official. You think you have your AOC or your Ilhan Omar, and you know, listen,
bruh.
They allow that stuff to make you feel like you're making some
make
traction in there.
Right.
Right. They allow that stuff to make you feel like you're making traction. Kamala Harris, right? All these, they put these people in there and make you think like, oh, look, see, it is free and fair for everybody. Nah. And I'm telling you, it's the same stuff that we went over when we were reading War Against Puerto Rico. It's the same way that they operated.
And these guys were mentioned in
the yes, same thing. Yes. Go ahead.
It looks like they're talking about money right now.
The feeling was we could very easily overthrow this progressive government and make it a lot easier for the United Fruit Company and other American businesses to operate in Central America.
Stop. So this is a former CIA division chief, and he just basically said it openly, blatantly. He said, remember what I said? He had this guy that got elected, Democrat. Right. He created a democracy mm-hmm. for Guatemala. So according to what the United States pushes, that's what they want. They want democracies. Right. Because it's free and fair. It's for the people, by the people, blah, blah, blah. Right. But the United Fruit Company, which Cap was saying, which was basically the government, right? Says they're more powerful than the government. To be more powerful than the government means you
government.
Are the government.
Right. Come on, man.
It means you are the government.
Those are little dog whistles
right.
there, bro.
It means you are the government, right? And he says, they said, this is the CIA. They said, we can overthrow this progressive government. This is a government. And you know what? Progressive is based on perspective.
Right.
What's progressive for you may not be progressive for me.
Are you doing what I want you to
do? So it was progressive for the people of Guatemala. Mm-hmm. It was progressive, all right, for Northern Kingdom.
Right.
But it was not progressive for them. Because why would they want to overthrow a progressive government?
Right.
It's the United States, the fathers of modern democracy, right. the standard and light bearer, right, with the Statue of Liberty, right, of all that's good and free and for the people, by the people. Why would you want to overthrow this? It was to line it up for the United Fruit Company and all the companies like it. You got something, Cap?
No.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, play it.
The feeling was we could very easily overthrow this progressive government and make it a lot easier for the United Fruit Company and other American businesses to operate in Central America.
Overthrow the government to make it
the
easier.
The CIA got heavily involved in managing public opinion. It created the image of our banks as a crazy radical.
Stop. So you see, that's propaganda.
Right.
It says it created the image of our Benz as a crazy radical, letting you know that, again, it's all about perception. It's all about perspective. This was a guy that was trying to bring more wealth to his people.
Right.
He said it don't make sense that 75% of our land is owned by 2% of the people, and those people are these multinational corporations. He says, my goal is to fix this. Now, it was probably real subtle, but if you didn't notice, it was a 3-year term, and it's because he got ousted before he finished his term, and it's going to talk about that, all right? Because normally it's like an even number of years that they do these terms if it's a democracy.
All right,
go ahead.
And it was a systematic effort, mobilization and financing of opposition forces until the Arbenz government was overthrown.
Stop. He said it's a systematic way that they do it. So it's not just let me fund arms. It's not just let me fund propaganda. They have a playbook that they use for this because they've honed it. They've honed it over the years. So they've realized, that's why I say, in some respects, man, if you look at this purely from a perspective of being able to maintain their power, man, although corruptly and unrighteously, they're really, it's ingenious.
Right.
It's ingenious.
It's the same system they used in Iraq with Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing they did with Gaddafi. Same thing they're trying to do with Iran right now.
Yep. That's exactly. Yeah. And that's really, but Iran.
Iran knows this.
Iran ain't playing games because they've studied it enough.
See, Saddam played with them.
Yes.
He played with them.
Yes.
They don't play with him.
Yes.
They don't play with America.
Yeah, that thing would have went very different with Saddam if he didn't play.
He played with them.
Yep.
Because he even offered them they would just leave him alone and not kill him because they even knew they were going to go after him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, nah, we don't need any of that.
Yeah, he knew.
You out.
He knew. That's why he had so many doubles and stuff like that. That wasn't because of opposition that he had doubles.
Nah.
They would have you think that it was because there was people there that wanted to overthrow him.
Right.
That's not what it was. And listen, he'd have done good for his people. They tried to paint him. Remember, they said they did this to our bands with a propaganda thing. He was going to do good for the people of Iraq. But he was basically forced to focus all his efforts on trying to keep himself alive.
Right.
Because
with Chavez and Castro.
Yes.
Just haven't been Castro was just too smart for them.
Yes. Yes. That's what happened with Castro. We were there. We spoke to the guys. We saw a lot of the history. We spoke firsthand. You know, they'll have you believe that everybody talks terrible about Castro. I'm not saying they love him, but they acknowledge historically what was trying to be done and how it got warped. And then it just becomes one of those things where it's just like, you know what I'm saying? You it's like putting pig. What do they say? Putting makeup on a pig, dressing up the pig,
lipstick on a pig. Yeah.
And so that's what the United States is. And it looks better. They do such a good job of making these people look so bad that all they gotta do is put some lipstick on a pig, and you're saying I want that instead.
Right.
And you're saying I want that instead. Yep. Go ahead.
That's part of the system.
Yep. That's the systematic effort that they have. That's their playbook.
A vicious repression of all progressives and supporters of the Arbenz government ensued. Guatemala really began to establish a new pattern whereby the United States government used covert operations, employed local proxies to destabilize and overthrow governments in the region.
So he said they became basically their proving ground for that stuff. to destabilize and overthrow governments. And when it worked here, that became from the 1950s all the way up to still today, that became their method of how they dealt. Because as we continue to dissect this documentary over the next few weeks, you're going to see Mexico, I think, is up next. So next week we'll talk a little bit about Mexico. You'll see how they go. And it's the same type of things that you see, right? The same thing that you see in Panama and all that stuff like that. It's all the same way that they roll and that they operate.
You know what they understand? That there's a Judas in every
yeah.
in every
yeah.
country.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. they can't do that unless somebody they can't – well, no Esau, right?
Yep.
So they have to go ahead and use our people
right. –
if you look at the MO, that's what they've done through everything that we've covered under Power
right.
Hour.
Right.
They use your own people.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Go ahead. And we're going to talk about that after we finish watching the Guatemala segment. Go ahead.
It was the covert operations employed local proxies to destabilize and overthrow governments in the region.
Pause that for a second. Pause that. I know I wanted to get through it. Let's get that in Exodus where it says, let us deal wisely with them.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Exodus, chapter 1 and verse 9.
Actually, yes, start at 9.
Yes, sir. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 9. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we.
And you got to understand something. For whatever they want to say, third world, second world, no resources, whatever it is, they knew that we were more and mightier than them. You look at Central South America, the Caribbean, the resources, everything that was available to us there. Just the mere fact that the people there knowing the land and where to find that stuff versus them having to excavate and find where these resources and stuff were, all right? That's how they were rolling. They knew. So they said, we have to deal wisely with this people, right? And at first, let me tell you, that's also kind of how the slavery became such a big deal, because first they came in killing all of us
right.
when Columbus came. They said, wait a second, this isn't smart. Now we don't have any people
to build
and work and, you know, do this stuff. All right, let's bring some more of them. Let's bring the other ones from Africa and other parts scattered, and we'll bring them here and have them work. And let's stop killing these other ones, all right? And, you know, and the Most High set it up so that there's remnants and things like that. And as things evolved, they said, listen, okay, so now we're going to change this and we're going to do it this way. Oh, we got people with governments? Okay, we're going to set proxies and we're going to do proxy wars and we're going to set things up. We're going to do covert ops through our Central Intelligence Agency.
You know, this happens at a local level in America, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's called gentrification.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They come in, right, covertly. They befriend you so you could show them, hey, how do I survive in Harlem?
Right.
How do I survive in this? They deal with it, you know, they'll deal with the loud music,
right.
you know, with the way, you know, we unrepentant live our lives. And little by little, they start bringing in more. And before you know it, they put a Starbucks and it's done.
Right.
Once the Starbucks is in your hood,
it's
a wrap. No Starbucks is – nobody going to pay $9 for a coffee in the hood. So you already know what they're – stop, but they do their research. You know that. You in retail.
Mm-hmm.
They do surveys, okay, and they look ahead. Okay, what are the plans for this area? They meet the building planners and everything,
it's
man.
It's funny you say that because in my mind, like, so for example, I was in California last week with the family, and before we headed back, I wanted to try breakfast at a spot. But, you know, I don't really know a lot of these areas. So
right,
breakfast spot looked good, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, we're going to drive over there. And I wasn't sure about the area. My point being, going into the point that you made, once I saw a BMW dealership, I said, oh, okay,
right.
This is a good neighborhood.
Right.
Meaning
right.
meaning it ain't gonna be hood. You know what I'm saying?
Bruh.
I said, it ain't gonna be ghetto. But because why? There would not be a BMW,
right.
just like there's not a Starbucks, so I use BMW.
Right.
There would not be a BMW dealership somewhere where it's the hood.
Right.
Hey, before Harlem got gentrified, they put a Starbucks there. They had a Krispy Kreme that didn't make it. Mm. Right? Because Krispy Kreme, the only reason why it didn't make it, because Krispy Kreme was, they were having issues on their books, but that Starbucks right on 125, and if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, it was either Lenox or Adam Clay and Power Boulevard. Thing is still there.
Hey, you want to know what's funny? And they did it slowly creeping up. So like they got further and further uptown. So we're talking about New York. So New York is basically numbered, right? So as you're going north, all the numbers go up, right? And then later runs out of numbers, it changes into streets and stuff. And the line that held for a long time before they branched up into Harlem was 110th Street. Because I remember getting over 110th Street, and it was literally, if you cross the street from where you got out, like on the north side, mm-hmm. because the north side wasn't nice. It was down south that was good. And you walk to the south side, it was a totally different neighborhood, mm-hmm. just across the street. So they inched their way up little by little with certain retailers and things like that. And that's how before they branched in there, they had one on 110th. And once they knew that the one on 110th was doing good, they said, okay, let's go up to 125. We're going to throw it right. Because 125 is the main strip of Harlem. You could go to Spanish Harlem to Black Harlem. Well, now it's gentrified Harlem on either side. Yeah. So, you know.
Hey, and people don't know this, but the parking summonses, they're more expensive south of 96th Street.
Damn. Look at that.
That always boggled my mind, man.
Yep. That's how it was. So, go ahead, read this.
Yes, sir.
Read 9 again.
Yes, sir. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we.
Right, so they know that about us. They know that we read Judith 5 on here. They know that we're more and mightier than they are. So they have to deal wisely with us, as we're going to read. Come on.
Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land.
And that's their concern, is that, damn, there's enough of them that if they rally against any of our enemies, they're going to be able to go ahead and we're going to be overthrown. And while we're talking about Egypt here, see, what's real important about this is that this is why later in the scriptures, the Most High references Egypt so much in a spiritual sense, and it calls this place spiritually Egypt, because even in Esau's cutting with this stuff, it's not original. It's that they took it from other nations also, and how they dealt with this stuff. They kind of just perfected it through the process of time, right? Because that's their blessing. Their blessing was to rule that way.
And you know what they saw? They saw that it worked with Pocahontas, with John Smith. They were like, it's a wrap.
Right. That's exactly what happened.
Right? Because think about it, man. She betrayed her people.
Yep. So read verse 11, because when he says proxies, this is what it's talking about. Come on.
Verse 11. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses.
So those taskmasters were people of their own kind. It was their own people.
Right.
Here, they called it proxies. They got proxies to go and help them fight these wars. So it created this illusion that this was something that was just happening in their region between the people are frustrated, so they're trying to overthrow the government. And then there's go to Exodus 5 and 14, and you'll see what I'm actually 13.
Yes, sir. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 13. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw.
And now you're going to see that these taskmasters, these proxies, were of their own people. Come on, of the children of Israel. Read on.
And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them.
So letting you know, he had big boss, right? That's the one that was on the horse, right? He had the one big boss. And then they had officers of the children of Israel that he set over the people. That's the proxies. The School of the Americas is big boss, and then they got all these military personnel locally, the officers, literally military officers of these countries. We're going to see as we continue. So this is going to come out more as we continue to go over this topic, this particular topic. All right. And he set them over them. Come on.
Were beaten and demanded, wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today?
Right. So big boss gets on them and says, you're not getting things done. Right. And we all know crap rolls downhill.
Right.
So they say, well, shit, I'm going to get my behind beat all the time. Part of my language. Go ahead.
As heretofore, then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants.
With thy servants. So the officers, so he's saying, wherefore dealing with us this way? We're fighting this proxy thing for you. Why are you being so hard on us?
Right.
Why are you being so hard on us? What were you going to say, Kevin?
Yeah, you know who else were proxies in this same history? Shifra and Pua.
Yeah.
The only problem was is that the Most High put the spirit in them not to carry out their plan.
Exactly.
But they were their proxies. That's how they'll do it.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly how they do it. Go ahead. Let's play. And go back a little bit. So this is the proxy piece again. You'll see it. It's with the guy sitting down on the paper and there. Yeah.
Realize and overthrow governments in the region.
Go back a little more.
The local proxies to destabilize.
So stop. Local proxies to destabilize and overthrow. Meaning it's not their people local is what we just read. The officers of the children of Israel, they chose their people to destabilize and overthrow government.
You know who they wanted to be their proxy to? Pedro Albizu Campos.
Yes.
That's why they invited him over.
We read the meeting. They brought him in. They said, hey, line it up.
They were trying to build him as a proxy.
Marin is the one that wound up being the proxy for them.
He being the proxy.
Right. Go ahead. Damn, that was a frolic explosion. Goodness. That mean, it shines back there like, yes! He loving this. He's like, yes! You talk about Mexico next week? Yes!
Orale.
Orale, wey. Good.
Bruh.
It was covert operations employed local proxies to destabilize and overthrow governments in the region.
It's a great day for the liberation leader as the populace demonstrates its joy at being rescued from the tyranny that prevailed during the communist regime of ousted President Jacobo Arbenz Guzman.
Stop.
Oh,
stop.
Man, I think I know what you're going to say, man.
No, you say it. Go ahead.
Okay. They always try to say that the leader that tried to do good for the people was communist.
Yes.
That is their freaking thing, man. It's that is communist.
Yep.
They're the communists.
Notice it said the red, the liberation.
Right. Wow, man. Because they said the same thing about Chavez. They're saying the same thing about Maduro, about Castro.
Right.
Wow.
That's exactly it.
Damn.
And they did such a good job. Remember, they said it was a multi-thing, financial, proxy war, everything. They did such a good job with their propaganda that there is a percentage of the population that's rejoicing.
Right.
Because they destabilized the region so much. This goes back to that thing with the Twilight Zone where I say people turn on each other. You take away resources and things like that. Mm-hmm. Bishop Nathaniel says often, all you got to do is turn off the water on black people and we'll start bugging out. Right?
Yeah.
Turn off the water and electricity, we'll start bugging out. That's what winds up happening here. These people were for this guy that they're now saying was a communist dictator. Meanwhile, he was a progressive Democrat, all right, bringing democracy to Guatemala to help equalize the land distribution so that he can spread the wealth to his people. And they demonized him, and then not just demonized him, because you can't just talk about it.
Right.
You have to create situations with that create pain for them. And they did that by destabilizing the region. So, of course, you're going to see them in the streets, because for the past few years, during these civil wars and guerrilla insurgents and these proxy wars, they were suffering. So now they're, yes, okay, somebody knew, anybody knew. And it's like in sports. When the team's doing bad, they fire the manager and get a new one.
Right.
Freaking poor manager. What did the manager do? What did the coach do?
A lot of times that never even works.
No. No.
So right. He can't hit the ball.
Right. And then guess what happens? They're motivated because there's a new guy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, they go back to their BS.
Hey, case in point, man, just real quick. The Dodgers were in fourth place, man. They brought Pujols in. Now they're moving up. Just to give an example.
Right.
Man, a change of face.
Right. That's it.
Bruh.
That's it. Go ahead.
Day for the liberation leader as the populace demonstrates its joy at being rescued from the tyranny that prevailed during the communist regime of ousted president.
You propaganda? That's propaganda.
Stop. Don't go. You know how to go back. Rescued from the tyranny of him trying to give you back the land.
All dog whistles, right?
Rescue from the tyranny of him trying to take 75% of the land that only 2% own and more equally distribute it to everybody.
And since you always have evil in Israel, right, you get one person that just don't like you for whatever reason that you're never going to make happy, right? And then they go ahead, right? Judas.
Yep.
Right.
Judas.
They know there's going to be a Judas. You're right. Go ahead.
end of the Civil War, and more important, the end of another attempt.
Wasn't that the guy that was doing the plans on the floor? That's the same nose.
Wow.
And then look what happened with that regime.
After the overthrow, you had the beginnings of a civil war. People were picked up on the streets in the middle of the night, kidnapped, assassinated. You had the growth of a guerrilla war and of the government's efforts at counterinsurgency. As the rebels retreated into the countryside, they built up a very big support among the Mayan and Canjabal people who had always been discriminated against by the Guatemalan government.
Stop, and I can't remember for the life of me where that scripture was. Bishop brings it out. I can't even paraphrase it, where it talks about, because he mentions that some of the other northern kingdom would have issues with the ones that were in the woods and that weren't as cultured. And I can't remember. I was going to call him. I didn't have time before the show to remember that scripture. He's mentioned it before. And the way he's broken it down is that it goes into that. And because he talks about in some of these rainforests and stuff, you have some of our people that are still not discovered. Right. And they're basically shitted on. Sorry, for lack of a better term. Right. They're basically crapped on. Mm-hmm. So he's saying that, you know, in there. So it's basically the bourgeoisie, right, and the regular. So the bourgeoisie basically crapped on the Mayans and the more indigenous, the ones that were more kind of wild, less civilized. Mm-hmm. Meaning that they lived in their more traditional sense in the woods and things like right. that. So they wound up rising up and joining the guerrillas in the insurgency.
And I also goes to show you how vast North and Central and South America is, because right. these people never made it. They probably still think it's, you know, it's Columbus who just left.
Well, they've been cutting down trees in them rainforests for like 50, 60, 70, 80 years.
And they can't get...
And there's still more trees. My point is it's so big. It's so big. They say there's so many species they haven't discovered because it's so crazy. They said the forest and the rainforest in South America, Central South America, is the lungs of the earth. Because, you know, like the it sucks up the carbon dioxide right. and shoots out oxygen.
Gotta be huge.
They say it's the lungs of the earth.
Remember, the map doesn't give it justice. According to that Edomite woman, the map doesn't give justice to how big South America is. They said it's actually...
Yes.
Bigger than Greenland,
right.
but yet they put Greenland real big.
Right, right. Hey, and producer, while we let this play, if you can look up, I just search for like actual map dimensions, actual right. global, because you've seen it where like the U.S. fits like in the top part of Africa,
right.
South America, and it basically shows you the real size of these land masses. But even in that, they couldn't give us no respect, bro. They put the land masses like smaller or equal.
Right. Hey, and it's true because they're doing the same thing here in America.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They did the same thing here in America, right? Let's create a pandemic, all right? And it will come to the rescue, all right? And they'll fall right into our plan.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So, Jesus Moreno, he said, yes, create a problem, reaction, solution. That's what they
problem,
do.
Yeah, problem. Yeah. Order out of chaos.
Yep. So go ahead, play.
The Civil War really went from about the 1960s to the 1980s.
Wow.
And as it escalated, the government responded with resettlement campaigns and a genocidal war against the Indians.
Yo salí de Guatemala después del que quemaron vivo mi padre en la embajada de España.
She can talk about what happened.
Pedían asilo político al gobierno español. Y con el propósito de salvar sus vidas, entraron en la embajada.
So they entered the embassy to try to save their lives.
Y en ese momento las fuerzas de seguridad de Guatemala atacaron la embajada.
They burned the embassy with them inside.
Los quemaron vivos a todos. Realmente ningún sobreviviente de los campesinos, de los estudiantes, de la gente que estaba allí. En Guatemala, si lo que hay es persecución, es asesinato, es matanza, Lo que hay es inseguridad de la vida. Yo prefiero romper la frontera e ir donde sentiré más seguridad.
Can you stop for a second? Stop for a second. So, again, they complain that we're coming over the border here for a better life, but they created
That's the problem.
Us wanting to come over here, and then they don't want... It's all about prophecy, man, to destroy us. They want to destroy us as a people. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Crazy.
Los estadounidenses no tienen idea de por qué uno se viene.
All right, so people have no idea why they come to the U.S. They presume, this goes to what I was saying earlier, they think that our people are coming to the U.S. because it's just so great here.
All right.
And it's far beyond that. Come on. And look, she says, and if they do, it's probably the wrong idea. So if they do have any idea, it's the wrong idea as to why they're coming. Come on. Because their answer is just stay. Why are you coming? Come on. That's why, see, stuff like this, I'm sorry, stuff like this is why the article we read in the beginning with the kids, that's why the kids are coming up here.
Right.
Because it's still jacked up in a lot of these places. Violence, destabilization of the governments and long-term effects of that have put gangs in control of a lot of these places. And they're trying to make it seem, well, it's because they're uncivilized and they don't know how to handle themselves. Well, and explain Chicago.
Right.
If America's so great. And they just took a Northern Kingdom system, man. And I don't know who did it. It could have probably been her own Northern Kingdom people over some car thing. They dragged her out the car, started beating her up.
I was supposed to know. They thought the Puerto Rican flag was a Confederate flag.
They didn't say it was because of that. They said it was because of some traffic thing. Her husband comes out to try to help her, and they shot him in the neck, like execution style, and then they shot her in the dome after beating the crap out of her.
They said that because they thought the Puerto Rican flag was a Confederate flag, is what the article said.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
That's
the same one that they're lying in the car like that. It's crazy, man.
No, they pulled them out the car, these people.
Yeah.
Okay, said they were lying in the car.
Well, lying outside.
But they said it was, so maybe that was the thing that they were saying there was an issue, and they beat the crap out of them.
In Chicago, right?
In Chicago.
Yeah, because they were celebrating the Puerto Rican.
They were celebrating the Puerto Rican.
Yeah, they thought it was a Confederate flag on the car.
They had two little babies less than a year old, too.
Yep. Wow.
Left them dead, supposedly. But the point is, that's another result of neglect and destabilization. So supposedly America's so great, but you got, cases like Chicago, right? That they can't resolve, they can't fix. And you got the freaking gay mayor over there, too. So much confusion over here.
Yeah, Lightfoot.
Yep, go ahead.
Los estadounidenses no tienen idea de por qué uno se viene a los Estados Unidos. No la tienen. Y si la tienen, yo creo que la tienen equivocada. Y fue bien difícil dejarla. Fue duro. Tenía 4 años. Ni siquiera entendía que su mamá se iba a venir y no iba a estar mañana y volvía a ser levantada. Dejar tus hijos, eso no es fácil. Venir aquí, el precio que pagas es carísimo. No tiene precio.
Why would they leave their children? People don't question that stuff. Some of them don't leave their children. Then when they take them, I've read comments, why would you bring your children? But that hatred for us, bro, you cannot rationalize. Well, that's why when people try to tell you, we need to love, to come together, love, good support, it's they're a nation of a fierce countenance.
Right.
When you read about Esau, it says that he hates us because he's not us. Deep down, it's spiritual. It's in his bones that he hates us.
And they like the deaf adder. They're not going to understand none of the stuff that we're explaining.
No. That's like you trying to explain your existence to a roach.
No ears, right.
like they're going to go on their instinct. If I had a roach right here, I can't explain what a human being is, what I am, all this other stuff. That's how far apart the divide is. That's the point that I'm making, right? Or to a dog or whatever. You can say whatever it is. I just went to a roach because that's what
Mr.
they are.
Roach.
But but you can't explain. So you can't rationalize to them. You can't get them on your side. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. They have no idea, nor do they care.
Right.
nor do they care. They actually care more for dogs than they do
and
for
you.
People.
Yeah, they even formed an organization called PETA, right?
Man.
They cared about it. Could have called Pedro.
Bro, I see it in the local groups all the time on Facebook. And, man, they up in arms about, bro, they get violent, cursing people out for dogs. Man, people who leave their dogs out when it's hot, they should be killed.
Right. You don't have shoes on your dog.
You don't have shoes on your dog.
Right.
You're so cruel. Why don't let me put some hot coals down and you walk on them? And I'm like, damn. Right. And now you shouldn't be cruel to your animals and stuff like that. That's true.
Right.
But my point is, you don't see them when they see stuff like what happened to George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, things like that, talking like that.
Yeah.
They just they all Blue Lives Matter instead, right? Good, ridiculous. Go ahead. Cucarachas, that's right.
I was almost 7 years old when I came to LA to be reunited with my mother because she left Guatemala 3 or 4 years before I did. It was a very long trip. It was by bus, it was by car, by walking many, many miles.
Damn.
Going through the southern part of Mexico is one of the toughest parts. When it came to crossing the border, I had to say that the coyote was my father and that my grandmother was my mother. And we were coming to visit. The immigration officer asked me, like, what's your mom's name? And I said, Aura. But he asked me for my father's name, and I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
They called the coyote was supposed to be her
we
dad.
We were not sent back to Guatemala. We were not able to cross to the U.S. that first time because of my fault. But my grandmother is a person with a lot of persistence and a lot of tenacity, and she's like, no, we're going to try again. In January 27, 1991, I came to L.A. All I remember is seeing...
What minute are we at?
Really? Pregnant woman running
go forward like just a little bit. I want to see. Keep going. Okay, go back just a little. Stop right there. That's not what I want to see, but... Because the rest is... It does feel good, but there is something I want to say that makes a point. Yeah, that's her... Her mom's like a home attendant for that Edomite, so go ahead.
It's horrible for me, because when I lived in Guatemala... Yo no tenía ni idea que existía Harvard.
So, because they tell you that with criminal, they're going to show Glenn Beck and stuff talking and everything. And her daughter came here illegally, and she got a degree from Harvard University.
Right. Our people come here to
right, for whatever that's worth for them, right? That we come here with a criminal mindset, and she came here, and she got a degree from Harvard University. Come on. Get it.
So the volume's low on the video.
My diploma from Harvard University. Yeah, I can believe it's my name in it. Mariana
Zamboni.
I think that my mom was given the opportunity to have achieved her educational dream. She would have gone to Harvard. I believe she's a fighter.
Listen, I'm for pretty open immigration, but when the immigrants come, they come with a culture of criminality. It's out of control. They put a strain on our Social Security, our education, our health care.
American history is replete with upsurges of anti-immigrant fervor. Immigration has always been a big battleground because there's always an attempt of those who came a while ago to then paint those who came more recently as the problem. The greatest danger we have is ignorance, because when people act out of ignorance, they usually act in ways that they come to regret later on.
So declassified documents show the CIA secretly trained Guatemalan death squads. So stop. But so, right, because some people might watch and they'd be like, well, yeah, that was Guatemalans doing that to Guatemalans. I have them. We're probably not going to get to them today, of some of the declassified documents that let you know what went on at the School of the Americas. I want to read a little bit about the School of the Americas and some of the stuff. And then, you know, we'll see. Like I said, there's a lot of information for this. So it says these documents that were declassified proves that America was so, all the stuff that you saw them beating people, taking them into cars that disappeared, torturing them and all that stuff. They were trained by the U.S. to do that. They said, this is how you're going to maintain your power. Mm. And this is how they had them play ball. Go ahead. Hundreds of mass grave sites have been unearthed. You don't got to stop. I'm just reading. Since the end of the Guatemalan Civil War. During the 1980s, less than 2% of Guatemalan applicants were granted political asylum in the U.S. That's why they come illegal. More than 1 million Guatemalans now live in the United States. All right. So they're going to talk about Mexico next. Lord's will, we'll go over Mexico next week. But let me go and talk. you got too excited there. You got too excited. Let's read. Let me see which article I want to put up. Let's pull up the one from. Let's pull up the one from The Guardian, and then we'll and then get the one ready from Glimpse from the Globe. Excuse me. And while you do that, let's get Micah 2, because remember, they were talking about the land thing. And so meet Micah 2 and 1. And again, just the characteristics of this man, like, you know that this is talking about us. Because when in moderns, because people tell you historically, right? That'll be one of the arguments. It doesn't hold weight. Well, Esau was always kind of like that then. So, you know, so let's say they'll come to you and they say, well, okay, let's say Esau is who they try to say we say we is, right. But it's what the Bible says he is. He kind of rolled that way with everybody. But you look to modern times, he hasn't rolled that way with anybody. That, so you're looking at now, this is 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, right. 90s, more recent, right? We read the stuff with the immigration and the kids at the border. This is more modern time stuff. So who has that applied to? Right. Remember, it said that these curses will be upon thy seed forever, Israel, right. Upon the blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans. That means any affliction that seems similar for other nations, was only for a dispensation of time. They're not under those things still to this day. We are. We are. Micah 2 and 1.
This is the book of Micah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their bed.
Right, because that's all that's in their mind. It's out of quest, how to enlarge their desire, right. All of that stuff. So day and night, that's what they focused on. They work evil upon their beds. Come on.
When the morning is light, they practice it.
Meaning out in the open. And how are they able to do that? The propaganda. They're actually able to get those people dancing in the streets over removing a president that was actually for them, trying to redistribute the land that they took. Come on.
Because it is in the power of their hand.
Because God has ordained it in this time for them to have that rulership. That's the prophecy in Genesis, right? Where he says, you will rule over him. The reason they're able to and why they do it, because in their spirit, they know that they can.
Right.
You know, you ask them, well, why do you do it? I don't know. You don't know, but the Most High knows. We know because you can. Right. And what do you read in Luke when Satan tempted Christ? He said, such is my portion to give all this unto you. Right. Meaning it's within my power. Him at the top and then them as his emissaries. All right. It's within their power to do it. Come on.
And they covet fields and take them by violence.
So they did it when they came as conquistadors. And one of the ways they keep them and try to get more is with these proxy wars, is with setting these people up, setting up these death squads in these countries, training them at the School of the Americas. And why? It's because they coveted those fields. They said the United Fruit Company, other multinational companies wanted that. Hey, and it's not just fruit. You got oil fields. They covet oil fields. So they do things like that as well. Come on.
And houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house.
Meaning his land. They oppress the man and his land. Come on.
Even a man and his heritage.
Because in order for that goal to be successful, in order for their aim to be successful, they have to get us to adopt that American mindset, that American way. One of those things that you're seeing big time now is things like that Sodom agenda. All right. Right. They pushing that hard. You're seeing that pop up in a lot of love is love, equality, all that other stuff like
that.
God's not the God of equality. All right. He never was.
I had that one girl. She said, I'm a boy now.
Oh, yeah. I'm Theo.
Everybody came, yeah. Everybody came and hugged her. Man, you look more like a girl than aunt. Good luck.
I'm a boy now. Come on, man. Get out of here with that stuff. Get out of here. That's all I wanted on that. Let's get this article. So The Guardian, that's the one I want. So this one's a little older, and then the other one's a little newer. We'll skim through the newer one after I read this one, because it's some of the stuff is redundant from this one. So it says, the School of Latin America's dictators, right? That's what the School of the America is. Since so many alumni are notorious human rights abusers, the U.S. military should close its deadly School of Americas. When the elected president of Honduras, Manuel Zelaya, was dragged from his bed and flown out of the country in his pajamas last year, this was in 2009, it was no surprise to find that this classic coup was led by a graduate of the School of the Americas, the notorious Army Training School in Fort Benning, Georgia. What's wrong with Georgia? But General Vasquez was simply following a well-trodden path for autocrats in Honduras. After all, two of the country's most hated past dictators, Juan Melgar Castro and Policarpo Paz Garcia, had also attended the school. So, again, this goes into those officers, right? They were trained by the taskmaster. Remember, right. I said the School of the Americas, you know, the big boss, right? They're the taskmasters. Right. And then they have the taskmasters under them. More than 60,000 Latin American soldiers have been trained at the School of the Americas. Among them, some of the region's most notorious human rights abusers, such as Salvadoran death squad leader Roberto Dausson. In all, 11 dictators have attended its courses. Men such as Argentine junta leader Leopoldo Galateri, infamously responsible for the disappeared, and Guatemala's Efraín Ríos Montt, whose scorched earth campaign against indigenous villages was classified as genocide by a UN-sponsored commission. They told him to target those people.
Right.
They said target those indigenous because they knew that those were the more pure blood Israelites. They said target those indigenous. Founded in the Panama Canal Zone in 1948, which I have some literature on that, it was originally named the Army Caribbean School. It was renamed the School of Americas in 1963, and a new curriculum was introduced, offering courses in counterinsurgency, military intelligence, and psychological warfare. The school was moved to Fort Benning in 1984, and in 2001, in an attempt to improve its image, its name was changed again to the Western Hemisphere Institute for Cooperation. Sounds safe enough, right? It's an institute for cooperation. Cooperation in what? Cooperation in counterinsurgency, psychological warfare, military intelligence. Training manuals, and there's PDFs of it, used at the School of the Americas were declassified in 1996. In a future show, we'll go over some of that stuff. They advocated the use of fear, payment of bounties for enemy dead, beatings, false imprisonment, execution, and use of truth serum, according to a Pentagon memorandum. The manuals also included detailed interrogation techniques and used the term neutralization, which the Department of Defense admits is a euphemism for illegal execution. Neutralize the threat.
Right.
What does that mean?
You know what that means, soldier. You know what that means.
Hey, give me a second. Hey, producer, can you get a chance to answer Adiel Ben Israel's request to see if that's possible?
So it says those manuals have now been withdrawn from use, and anodynally named WINSEC offers courses in human rights, ethics, democracy, and peacekeeping. So they're trying to change their image, right? But there's very little take-up of these soft courses, according to institution's own statistics released in Congress in 2000. And by far, the most popular courses remain commando tactics, military intelligence, psychological operations, and combat training. So what they did was, instead of stop teaching the stuff, they renamed it and then offered some other stuff. And it says most people don't actually take those courses. So there are people in Latin America, so-called Latin America, that still go to this place to train and learn these type of tactics. Despite its revamped image and promise of transparency, WINSEC has been remarkably secretive. It refused to publish the names of its military trainees and has turned down numerous freedom of information requests by campaigners. Only after a congressional vote last year did it begin to release names and country origins of graduates. This weekend, this is 10 years old, this article, 1921 November, thousands of people will congregate at the gates of Fort Benning to call for the school's closure. It's not closed. It was 10 years ago. It's not closed. The protest is called by School of America's Watch, which we'll read a little bit about them. A group founded by Father Roy Bourgeois, which has cataloged the abuses of School of American graduates for 20 years. Protests will also take place in 14 Latin American countries, including Chile, Honduras, and Guatemala. And obviously, they're still open, so protests and all that stuff don't do a damn thing.
Right.
A vigil will take place in Colombia, which has sent more officers to U.S. training schools than any other Latin American country, and today has the worst human rights record in the region.
That's true, because their allies, they've been allies with America to overthrow Maduro.
Yeah, they've been one of the strongest allies, like, that's Colombia is one of the countries where they're like, yeah, you're good. Like, you know, those travel things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you're good, because they're in heavy with the United States. They're in heavy. In the last 2 years, the country has been rocked by the news that the army has been killing innocent civilians, then dressing the victims in guerrilla uniforms. This was in 2010. Mm. And these are tactics that they picked up at that school. Prosecutors are investigating more than 1,700 alleged extrajudicial killings by the security forces, who is responsible for the grisly false positive murders. Well, one of the first generals sacked for involvement was Paulino Coronado James, a graduate of the School of the Americas. The term neutralization may have been taken out of the school's manuals, but its students still appear to be carrying out what they learned on the ground, reason enough to close down the school for good. But it was not. Let's go to the other article, Glimpse from the Globe.
So you go to this school to learn how to become a dictator, basically.
Yes, yep. That's exactly
how to overthrow your own people.
How to overthrow your own people. Yep. Be a taskmaster over your own people. We're not going to read the first part because it kind of said the same thing. Actually, I will read this because there's a little bit different information. So this article is from December 17th, 2020. So this is just 6-7 months old. And it says, close the School of the Americas again, right? Because they never closed it. From the School of the Americas to the border, no más muertes, right? So that's the School of the Americas Watch. That's the organization that has been pushing for this. So it says the School of the Americas, located in Fort Benning, Georgia, has a known history of producing graduates that have gone on to become some of the worst human rights violators in the Western Hemisphere, including nearly a dozen dictators. The notorious training facility has been condemned by human rights groups for decades, but remains functioning today under the name Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, which is WINSEC, with some graduates now going on to work for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Uh-oh.
So these graduates go on and they work for ICE.
Wow.
Right? So you wonder, we read at the beginning of the show,
right,
what's going on in these places right, with these children and why it's prevalent. This is why I said it ties in perfect to what we're going to be talking about with the School of the Americas. The School of the Americas was founded in 1946 in the Panama Canal Zone and intended to function as a training ground for the increasing number of Latin American attending U.S. service schools. Under the Panama Canal Treaty, SOA was expelled from Panama in September 1984 and moved to Fort Benning in Georgia. So they would have stayed there to continue to train people. Mm-hmm. But when they did this treaty, one of the things they negotiated into it was to kick that school out. The Army facility brought in recruits from across the Americas, and classes were taught in Spanish to accommodate foreign students. What's funny is that when they were in Puerto Rico, they made sure that they spoke English. But when it was for their interest to teach right, them these evils to do to their own people, they made sure that they accommodated them to speak right, Spanish, right?
Yeah, I got your language.
Yeah, I got you. All right, here, they come here, they say, speak English, right? Right. They, you better speak English, right? And you should. You need to get on and stuff like that. Sure. But they mean it because of their hateful selves. Yep. But no, you can come to the school. We're going to teach you in Spanish. Right. Oh, too hard for you to understand how it is to torture somebody in English?
Right.
We're going to teach you in Spanish.
We got it.
No problem.
Yeah, right. We got it. By 1949, SOA produced 749 U.S. military personnel and 251 Latin American graduates, representing 10 different countries. In 1956, Spanish became the official language of the school, and classes stopped being taught in English. So this whole thing, part of that Micah 2 that we read, devising iniquity, right? And they work evil upon their bed. They said, listen, you know what? There's even no reason to teach any of this stuff right, in English, because that's not the target. And people want to say, we're not the Israelites, that these curses don't apply to us.
Well,
it's they're targeting us.
Right.
So it says they stopped teaching it in English, only in Spanish. After the Cuban Revolution in 1959, the U.S. military adopted a security policy to counter the international communist conspiracy. They always make it about communism. And in 1961, President John F. Kennedy ordered the school to begin teaching anti-communist counterinsurgency. The School of the Americas began training in riot and mob control, special warfare, jungle warfare, intelligence, and counterintelligence. The Cold War saw the United States back numerous bloody coups. That's the proxies. Against democratically elected Latin American socialist leaders in favor of supporting, training, and arming military dictators. So these were like the guy we read in Guatemala that was elected democratically, and they supported a coup against them. The United States has had to hand its hand all over the region in the 20th century. Its hand was all over the region in the 20th century.
Right.
The coup of Salvador Allende and U.S. support for dictator Augusto Pinochet being one of the most infamous examples, and he was real terrible. I think they talk about him in the documentary, Pinochet. The School of the Americas has been given the moniker School of the Dictators and School of the Assassins.
Wow.
As almost a dozen Latin American dictators have been graduates of the institution. Panama's drug-dealing dictator Manuel Noriega and El Salvador's Roberto Dabuzón are just two examples. So Noriega was their guy. He trained at the School of the Americas. He's a graduate from it.
You see how that turned out for him.
And they flipped it on him. They brought lasers in there and everything to deal with him. They said, let's test out this new weapon over here.
All right.
As part of the U.S.-backed war in El Salvador between 1980 and 1992, right? So El Salvador was in war for 12 years, and it was a U.S.-backed war. A massacre occurred in 1989 at Central American University. Six Jesuit priests, a 16-year-old girl, and her mother were killed. The non-governmental organization School of the America Watch was founded in 1990 to denounce the massacre. This NGO has also existed as the leading advocate for the permanent closure of the SOA. SOAW has done reporting on the extensive crimes of the school as well as its graduates and led the public movement to close the school. In September of 1996, in response to a Freedom of Information request and rising public scrutiny, the Pentagon released SOA training manuals, which advocate for torture, blackmail, and extortion, among other human rights atrocities. So you know how you get your textbooks when you go to school?
Right.
These were their textbooks,
yeah.
Right? Teaching them how to do this to their own people, right? And like Cap was saying, there's always a Judas, so they would just key in on their motivations. Well, you guys could be in power. You guys could be the authority. It says the U.S. military used American tax dollars to train Latin Americans how to torture, terrorize, and repress populations. So tax money can't go to them to help them kids in the cages,
right,
down there,
right.
But they can use U.S. tax dollars
to
do this, right? They'll allow this training to be done. The hypocrisy. You don't see Esau up in arms about tax dollars being diverted to this. But what did Glenn Beck say? Oh, they put a strain on Social Security when they come, which is not true, because you can't get any type of damn benefits when you come here.
Right.
I don't know where that shit comes from.
Right.
Hey, and then they get people believing that, bro, that like even like their own people, they get them believing that stuff. Remember our younger brother, he was like, yeah, man, the Mexicans come here and they take all our jobs. I said, bro, how you gonna talk about Mexicans like that? You're Puerto Rican. He was like, nah, man, they take all our jobs. I said, word? I said, you want to work in a farm?
Right.
I said, you trying to cook in the back of the pizza shop?
You want to pick strawberries?
You want to pick strawberries? I didn't know you up for that job.
Right.
And if you lost that job, right? Like if you couldn't pass the interview for that job, I don't know what job you're gonna be able to hold down. It's ridiculous when you think about it. The type of jobs they take. What jobs are they taking? They taking our jobs.
That's just regurgitating what he hears.
That's it. That's all it is. Well, and that's the scary thing. And that's actually also, that could be like a case study to show you how that propaganda works so good, because then people just start to regurgitate what they hear with no basis for it. So it says public pressure calling for the closure of the SOA grew, and when a congressional task force found those responsible for the 1989 UCA massacre were trained at SOA, something had to be done. The House of Representatives narrowly killed a bipartisan bill to shut down the SOA. So they voted on it, and they killed it. They said, no, we're not going to close it. And instead, it was closed in 2000 and then reopened in January 2001 as the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security. They said, listen. Let's just close it for a year.
Right.
And then just stay quiet for a year.
Right.
And we're going to open it up with a different name. And nobody's going to notice. And rather than under the military, they did it under the Defense Department, which is the same thing, because who runs the military? The Defense Department.
They love their acronyms, too.
They sure right. do, boy. WinSec. United States imperialism, because that's exactly what it is still alive and well, fueling an international reign of terror that has spawned almost a dozen dictators and countless human rights violators. The school of the Americas was never really closed. Instead, it was given a fresh coat of paint. So you talk about under the curses till this day, that thing is still there. Instead, it was given a fresh coat of paint, simply rebranding the name, the same education that promotes violence and terror in the global South. This education reinforces a cycle of violence in the Americas. It starts with security sector forces trained by the United States to use torture, extortion, and abductions on populations of the global South. As a result, here's the kicker, as a result, asylum seekers migrate north to escape from violence, often after a family member has already been tortured, arrested, or kidnapped. So why do they come here? Right. Oh, if you wouldn't come here, none of this stuff would happen. You done jacked up our neighborhood.
It ain't out of osmosis.
Right. Right, yeah. We're not just drawn here because America's so great. Damn, it's better here than what you did down here. Because we know you wouldn't tolerate that stuff where you at. Unless it's Chicago or places like that. They'll allow that. Baltimore is pretty jacked up too. Right? So it says at the U.S.-Mexico border, caravans of people are denied refuge and detained, deported, or killed, right? And that's another thing that's largely underreported. Right. Those freaking ICE guys, they down there killing these people. That thing don't be making news. Mm-hmm. Because it's just, bro, you, and when you drive, like when I was driving down the IA, it's just, there's so stretches of nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
And these people try to come across. It's real easy for these guys out there to pop I'm someone off. And you don't even got to bury them. You just leave the damn body there. They're all in cahoots with that
stuff.
Yeah,
the vultures will eat them.
Yep. Right. Yeah, the vultures, the wildlife, all that stuff. They'll get at it, right? And that's it. They don't got to worry about it. From either end, it's the United States terrorizing and killing innocent people. It is. You got people out there saying Esau is not the white man. Right. They didn't start with the United States. You're out of your damn mind. It's a bloody system spawning from the U.S. destructive foreign policy in Latin America, ranging from sanctions to outright coups that seek to strangle the region with unfettered capitalism and Washington-backed despots.
What date is this article?
December 2020.
Wow.
Yeah, 7 months ago. Since 2019, SOA WinSec has trained over 83,000 Latin American security forces, so they're still churning it out.
Right. Those are the same ones that they used from Colombia to go ahead and try to overthrow Maduro.
Yes. Yes.
I remember that was their what they call that thing. Their headquarters.
Yep. So it says 83,000 since 2019. That's and this was in 2020, so that was in a year. Almost 2 years. The school has held human rights training as a central pillar since before the 2001 rebranding. And after the change in leadership, the Defense Department doubled down on this focus by offering courses on human rights. However, these efforts are meaningless when it has no correlation to graduates respecting the most basic laws of international human rights. Mm. Right. So the same school that's teaching human rights is teaching you how to not to disregard the human rights.
Right.
In 2015, SOA WinSec graduated its first U.S. Border Patrol agent. The U.S. Border Patrol has secured contracts to purchase millions of bullets and ammunition, and in the past 15 years have killed over 100 people that we know of as a result of excessive force, many of whom were not on American soil. So those are international violations and stuff like that, and they're killing them not on American soil, meaning they're out of jurisdiction. Right, is what they would say. In September of 2019, an unredacted Immigration and Customs Enforcement report, an ICE report, revealed that ICE agents will now begin training at the facility. ICE has also contracted a private company for almost $1 million to build realistic models of U.S. cities in Fort Benning, meant to simulate raids ICE agents conduct in places like Chicago and Arizona. The models are typically family-style residential homes, complete with props that include furniture, clothing, and toys. This is the type of structured, detailed training that they're giving them, letting you know that, hey, I'm telling you, this is real new, so right. You're going to start seeing these raids happen, right? Maybe it'll slow down a little bit because, you know, yes, for whatever you want, you know, Biden has the agenda of the other side of the population, which is still not our agenda, right?
Right.
Remember, progressive is... depending on who you are. But they're training them there. And this is stuff that's not going away. ICE and U.S. Border Patrol have been under fire for years for their inhumane policies and gross human rights violations. We read what was happening with the children at the outset of the show. Immigration policy has been a major concern on the recent presidential election, from the child separation policy at the border to the recent reporting of forced sterilization by ICE. We went over that on this show. All these are tactics. There's so much information. I actually think that there was a sterilization effort in here too, in Harvest of Empire.
No, there was, because it was in Guatemala, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, because the Clintons admitted to it.
Yes.
A couple of years back.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to show, where do you think they're all getting this from? There's one place where this is the curriculum. Esau took their life's blood, right? Their essence. And they put it into training manuals.
The hell is this?
So it says,
step one.
The crimes committed under the guise of border security are severe. Today, agents are being trained in Fort Benning and instructed in the ways of violent military dictators. The extent of U.S. militarism has never been contained to our borders, and its effects are not without consequence, meaning it's infectious. This is why the scripture talks about all them that have laid down with the whoer and stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? This the one that disweakened the nations.
Right.
It says it's not just in the borders of the U.S. Their thing is so good that they don't even got to send their own army somewhere to get things done.
Right.
They'll get your army to do it. Mm-hmm. They'll get your people to do it. The School of the Americas must be shut down permanently, and the United States must begin a process of owning and reconciling. It's like, yeah, I hate when I hear that stuff.
Right.
It's owning, reconciling. You ain't owning, reconciling nothing.
Exactly. Nothing. If they're evil enough to go to these lengths and it's working for them, well, they ain't going to reconcile nothing.
No, definitely not. Definitely
they ain't
going
to reconcile it, because prophecy says it ain't going to
mm-hmm.
reconcile it.
We don't have a lot of time left, so I'm not gonna read the rest of the stuff. We'll save it for next week. We'll give a little more on the history of the School of the Americas, and then we're gonna watch the segment on Mexico from the Harvest of Empire. It's been pretty heavy, and I'm telling you, it's pretty. You talk about how it says they do a diligent search. I mean, their levels of craftiness. I mean, it's them. That's what their DNA is made of. You know, so. Guys, you know what? We keep forgetting to ask for call-ins. We should have asked for call-ins throughout the show.
Hey, we just got started.
I know. It just came. I guess that everybody else too. They were just kind of like with the information and stuff.
We
like
had
that.
Zero call-ins.
Yeah. So
zero.
We got to push the call-ins.
Yeah, we know. We didn't hear the phone ring.
Yeah, we didn't hear the phone.
Thank you.
We got to push the call-ins going forward.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
and that's thunderous applause. Give himself thunderous applause. Hey, so that's the show. Make sure you tune in for the Saturday show exclusively on Facebook. All right. That's 11 a.m. Arizona time. All right. And then Lordswood will be on next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Arizona time. We're going to continue to talk about this topic with the School of the Americas. We're also going to talk about Operation Condor, Lordswood, next week. All right. It was a United States-backed campaign of political repression and state terror. It involved intelligence operations and assassination of opponents. This was implemented in 1975 by the dictators that were trained at the School of the Americas in what they call the Southern Cone of South America, okay, which is kind of down by Brazil, Paraguay, Chile, Bolivia, Argentina, all of that. So, you know, basically Asher. For the most part, down that way. Naphtali, too, because you got Chile in the mix. And the numbers there are staggering. 400,000 in prison, 30,000 disappeared, 50,000 killed. And that's just in Argentina, I think. So they were going nuts down there. So we'll talk about Operation Condor and its genesis. And the reason that it's so profound to me is that that's the 1970s. Like,
right.
They were doing this.
Not that long ago.
No,
right.
No, not that long ago at all. Not that long ago at all. So a lot of this stuff. And we'll talk a little bit more about the history of the School of the Americas as well. Can we touch on the Noahide laws? I actually don't even know what that is. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I know what that is. Yeah. Nah, that's more conspiracy stuff, man.
Right.
I know what they're talking about. I mean, I'm not dismissing you as an individual. It's just there's really no relevance
okay
to that.
Right. Jesus Christ was a dark-skinned brown man. Yeah, that's right. He was. I'm looking at his name. That's a long name. Jesus Christ was a dark-skinned brown. That's a good name to have. Hey.
Oh, wait. God! Jesus Christ! We love you,
Northern King.
What the hell?
Well, that's the name. I thought
that was his name.
About, I thought he was saying,
yeah, that's his name. That's his name. I was like, wow.
Does he make everybody call him that?
He said, do you make everybody call you that? That's a mouthful, right? What's your name?
Make it an
name,
acronym
fam?
Like Winsec. JCDSBM.
JCWDSBM.
Right. What does that mean, brother?
What's your name, fam? Jesus Christ was dark-skinned brown man.
Jack Disby.
All praises.
But you're right, brother. All praises.
You're right about that. All praises to the Most High. Hey, we say that. What color was he? Black.
Black.
We should say, what color is he? Right. Some brothers say, was he?
It's a lot of love, brother. A lot of love.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. All right. So that's the show. Make sure you tune in next week. I pray you got edified. Make sure you like and share. All right. Continue to support. Hey, we're trying to get the IUIC Phoenix page up to 10,000 subscribers. So make sure you're subscribing as well. We appreciate all the support and sharing this out. All right. Also remember, support the Booster Club. I was supposed to say that at the beginning. We're continuing. We're going to hit up Puerto Rico in July. We're trying to set something up for Panama. Mm. All right. I believe we have some, there's a brother that watches us occasionally from Guatemala. We're trying to get something set up with that as well. So we're trying to continue to do things. We're also still doing research to try to get back into Cuba, right? Trump kind of jacked things up with that. It was kind of one good thing with Obama. It was pretty easy to go over there that time we went. So a lot of Northern Kingdom stuff going on. Hey, all 12 tribes got to come to repentance and be sealed with the doctrine in order for us to be able to go home. So let's make sure that we continue to support, all right? So, with that we say
shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. All right.
We keeping them low. When the Lord returns, Babylon will fall. Three steps solid. Solid. We got them on lock. God's chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen, get ready for our whip to crack.
Damn. Amalek says that we got to follow it. Man, get out of here.
That's what America's trying to push.
Right. So where would they be? You're right. It's conspiracy stuff.